Here we are then, 61 days since the last confirmed positive test for coronavirus on the Isle of Man. No active cases. The total number of confirmed cases remains at 336. There have been 7,602 concluded tests. Four people are awaiting results. No one is in the queue for a test today. We'll have an update at 4 o'clock today, just to see there's been another day gone by with no confirmed positive tests. There'll be a briefing at 5 o'clock today with the Treasury Minister, Alfred Canna. We'll have that live on Manx Radio. Because today is a very, very big day post the COVID pandemic. It's a big budget day on the Isle of Man with the Treasury Minister, Alfred Canna. I don't think they've sung happy birthday to the Lieutenant Governor, but His Excellency Sir Richard Gosney is 69 years of age today. I didn't hear them do a happy birthday, but this is how Alf Cannon set the scene for the interim budget.
Failing now to take continued action to protect our economy in these circumstances would in effect be preparing our economy to fail. We cannot just stand by, we must act. So today I have asked Tynwald to approve further direct measures to support our businesses and our economy, which includes the creation of a £100 million economic recovery fund to be able to respond to the continued threats and to assist the island in tackling both the expected and indeed the unexpected when it comes to what happens next, both economically and intrinsically interlinked from a health perspective.
That's the Treasury Minister, Alf Cannon. With me is John Marsh. You've been watching this very closely, John. Big day.
Oh, it's a big day. And the country is looking to the government to give it confidence. It's rather like riding a horse down a country lane and suddenly the horse sees a paper bag or a plastic bag and starts up in the air. The government is the rider of that horse. It's got to show the country that it's in control, that the horse might sweat up a bit, etc., but it'll be brought back into control and they can go along that country lane easily again. The members at the moment are speaking on the budget statement. The president has asked them actually to stick to the point, in effect, because one or two of them have been wandering around and other things as well. But just running through quickly some of the things that have changed. The strategic capacity scheme to support hotels and tourist accommodation has been extended to at least September at enhanced rate. The business support scheme, providing additional support directly to businesses associated with travel and tourism, has been extended. They've also made a change with the salary support scheme. Mr. Cannon said that continuing to provide direct taxpayer support through the salary support scheme ran the risk of the markets becoming distorted and anti-competitive, may support jobs that are no longer viable or help businesses back from adaptation. So he said the salary support scheme now needs to be more targeted and will be tapered down in the next few months, providing support in limited circumstances for the four-week support period five, which ended on the 19th of July. Businesses in the construction, agriculture and forestry, wholesale distribution, professional services, private education and mining and quarrying sectors will be required to provide evidence the business continues to suffer the required level of revenue downturn for this period. MIRA, we know about MIRA, that's a support as well. The weekly rate of MIRA from the 3rd of August is going to be reduced to £100. Mr. Cannon really gave Tynwald members a chance to become involved in this dispute, discussion. He offered these questions that came towards the end of his speech.
Do we consider that coronavirus continues to pose a dangerous threat to health and economic trading conditions on this island? Do we consider that there is substantial evidence of a global economic recession facing us? Do we acknowledge that it is impossible to gauge with any certainty how a global recession and recovery might play out? If, like me, you consider the answer to those questions as yes, then failing to prepare will indeed be preparing to fail. That will not be acceptable. We must be preparing to succeed.
Mr. Cannon said that the economic fight-back plans should be measured, appropriate and responsible. but most importantly, they must be capable of gearing up or indeed gearing down as appropriate. I cannot promise you a panacea, he said. I cannot determine how good, bad or indifferent the economic outlook will be, but I can promise you we're shaping ourselves, our budget and our island, to not only come through these next 9 months, but to build the platforms for our future recovery and prosperity. That's important, of course. The government is saying they're looking ahead. They want to create new jobs. They want to help businesses prosper as soon as possible. He said, I want to stress the income reduction scenarios presented in the budget are just that. They're broad-based assumptions on this year's outturn and are only meant to be illustrative of the possible scale of the impact this year, which is the reason why they put in three scenarios, a worst case up to a best case scenario. He also gave detail of this financial fallback position.
We've been negotiating a revolving credit facility with a syndicate of banks, all of whom have a presence on the island. This facility has an initial limit of £150 million, extendable to £250 million, and a term of 2 years, extendable ultimately to four on agreement. In operation, it would allow the Treasury to access tranches of funds for short periods to provide an alternative means to access cash against cashing in our investments.
He also gave details of where the departments have been losing money. For instance, Department for Enterprise, the savings potentially offset by a reduction in the department's total income of around 7.3 million. Where's that come from? From Central Registry, 3.15 million. An estimated loss of income for lands and deeds, company registers, civil registry, motorsports events, 3 million, aircraft registry. And for example, moving on to DHSC, a £400,000 reduction in gross expenditure, £250,000 relates to the overtime costs incurred by police on all events of the year, including the now cancelled TT and Festival of Motorcycling. And he goes on to list the other departments that have also been losing out because of COVID, including, of course, the infrastructure department. And then he went on to talk about the various schemes, etc. It was a limited interim budget, so it was a limited speech. Mr. Cannon took his seat a little over 30 minutes after starting his speech, but this is how he ended.
Mr. President, this budget sets course for the expected storm and the sea mist, sets course for the best, but acknowledges the worst, and sets course to take us through the dark clouds to the future, an inclusive, digital, green and safe future for our island nation.
There he is with the meteorological and nautical analogies. You've watched many budgets, but John, none in this context. This is new territory.
Well, it's interesting. I put a point to Mr. Cannon. Of course, he was going along very steadily. He had this five-year plan worked out when he came in. This is, in effect, his fifth budget. Four and a half, I suppose. He had the four budgets worked out. It was a plan. It was going to plan, etc. He was coming forward in various degrees. Now, this has thrown everything off kilter. He's had to think again.
The Treasury Minister, as you say, laid out the blueprint for the fight back in the wake of the global pandemic. But the damage is still happening, isn't it? We've got how many? 1,200 signing on the dole?
Well, a point that he made throughout this speech is we do not know what is coming ahead of us, obviously. We had these very low levels of unemployment. They've gone up, I think, at 1133 at the moment, which for the Isle of Man is very high indeed. But we do not know what is coming round the corner. We do not know if it's a second wave. We do not know if flu is going to be wrapped up in that as well. It's all very cautious. But we now have this £250 million loan facility worked out with the banks, which we can fall back on.
Interesting that he said a presence on the Isle of Man.
The banks have got a presence on
the Isle of Man.
They've talked to these banks and all of them have a presence on the Isle of Man, which is putting the Manx link there.
John, so what now? Because normally what happens with a budget statement is the numbers are there and the detail comes out afterwards. Have you spotted any potential hand grenades amongst this?
It's a purple book. The reason it's a purple book is because it's halfway between the pink book and the blue book, apparently, the colouring. But it is much slimmer than it normally is. And the point made by Mr. Cannon in his foreword is that they haven't had much time to put this together. So it is, by necessity, a fairly slim volume compared to the usual pink books, etc. But there is quite a bit of detail. It's a question of how much the government, the departments have lost, and what the government is prepared to do about it in fairly simplistic terms.
There are two numbers to remember, are 190 and 120.
That's the outside scenario.
So it's worst case 190, best case 120 million. that we've lost. So they have to work within that as well.
Underlines the fact they do not know what is going to happen next.
Yes, there's 70 million in the middle there as well. The initial COVID response cost, they reckon, £70 million. You mentioned salary continues for travel, tourism and fishing as well through to September. Is that right?
Yes, the various schemes have all been looked at. As far as, if I can just flick to my notes in the speech, the fishery industry scheme, which has provided vital support, has been severely reduced. It's proposed to be extended, though, the industry's been support for another 3 months. Now up in an estimated cost of £400,000. So this is more money that's been having to be looked for to help fisheries, which desperately needed. They had enough problems up to now anyway.
And they can't sell queenies for love nor money at the moment.
Well, I had queenies last night and they were excellent. May I recommend anyone listening to go for Manx queenies?
If we all ate queenies from 7 days a week, we wouldn't eat all the queenies.
Yeah, well, there are, unfortunately, the fishing industry needs the support and it's going to get this 400K's worth of it.
There's no budget due until next year.
Well, we don't know, do we? This is, I think, the first time we've had a second budget in a year. I'm not sure. I would have to check on that. But anyway, it is thought that this will do us. You can't have budgets every 5 minutes. This will do until the next budget is due.
Because there are people within Treasury spend long afternoons planning 2-year plans, 5-year plans, 10-year plans. And of course, the table's been tipped upside down now. Nobody quite knows what's going to happen. And where does this leave the process of filling the public sector pension hole as well, because we were all on target for that to be addressed?
It's one of the questions the Treasury Minister has to wrestle with, of course. We have got this loan facility. We've got 100 million, hopefully. But the great thing is, I suppose, and Alf Cannon has said this from time to time, the draw on the money the government said it can provide has been less than expected. And we heard David Nish of RL360 basically saying what business needs is not so much support from the government as the government going and spreading the word, saying to everyone, the Isle of Man's doing very well, come and do business with us. That's the support we need.
It was a very telling statement to say that
we don't need your support.
We don't need day-to-day help. We just need you to tell everybody that the Isle of Man is on an even keel and things are going to be fine.
I've talked to other people in the business sector and it seems that that view is actually reflected. Business can look after itself, except it does need a bit of publicity on an island like this.
And of course, Mr. Skelly, the Enterprise Minister, his department is tasked with going out finding new pots of money elsewhere, finding new industries, people who will come to the Isle of Man.
There is a bit of lack of detail there. I mean, we've had phrases like, we will do this, we will find this, we'll find that, but there's no details as to where that will be found. Doubtless, ministers will be questioned in due course as to where exactly are you going for these new jobs to offer these new opportunities. It's a point that Mr. Cannon made as well about new opportunities. You do get silver linings when the clouds are overhead. They're looking for those silver linings.
Do you expect there to be much dissent, discussion, dispute with Tynwald over this?
Well, not so far. We've had Mr. Watson on his feet. We've had Mr. Skelly on his feet. We've had Ralph Peake on his feet, but he's a member of Treasury Department.
It'll be backbenchers who will...
And they were cautioned by the President, basically, don't make this in an advert for what your department is doing, etc. Stick to the items that have been raised in the budget speech and comment on those. How long it'll go on for, how many people will speak, we just don't know.
And of course, the Isle of Man can't do much in terms of VAT and petrol duty. So the only thing we have control over is our own direct rates of tax.
It's about 60 million that VAT cut has cost us, I think. Yeah, which is a lot of money, a big slice of the cake. And we rely, obviously, on VAT.
Taxes provide an awful lot. And obviously, a lot of people, nobody used much diesel or petrol during the lockdown because people were locked down just as that.
One point, just people won't have occurred, I suppose, to is air passenger duty, of course. £5.5 million that brings us each year, each normal year. This year, we're getting about 200,000-300,000. So that's 5 million that's gone in that direction.
This is going to be on the balance sheet for a long, long time. John, you're going to be watching the budget for the rest of the day. We'll be talking to lots and lots of people. And of course, tonight on Update, there'll be a comprehensive report. And on Friday, the Treasury Minister, Afra Khanna, will be live on the Manning Line. Of course, Tynwald's likely to spill over, certainly to tomorrow and probably to Thursday as well. The man in line on Manx Radio, it's budget day today, or interim budget day today. I've got to get used to saying that. I'm Andy Witt. John Moss is here as well, looking at the whole thing. And if you want to comment, by the way, you can text 166177, email studio@manxradio.com, or you can call 661368. Budget day. 190 million or 120 million.
Hi, Jane. We must get that dinner we keep talking about. You free this weekend?
Great idea. Oh, I know this great place, Port St. Mary Golf Pavilion. I was there for their carvery on Sunday. The food is fantastic.
Oh, yeah. They're open now on Fridays and Saturdays for evening meals. They've done it up really nicely. Did you try the homemade cakes?
Well, yes, I did. They're definitely worth the calories. Talking of calories, I'm off to the gym. I'll do extra to make up for that cake we're going to have.
For menus and opening hours, visit psmpavilion.im.
Whatever your profession, achieve success with Ambitions. Trust Ambitions.
At Ambitions Employment Agency, we wouldn't push you into a job that just happens to be on our books. We listen to your needs and strive to find the perfect job for you. The difference is we care. Contact Ambitions and take advantage of our free CV workshops.
Whatever your profession, call 614-841.
Love local, love the island.
Tyre alignment is vital for improving tyre life, fuel efficiency and safety. Island Tyres and Exhaust use the state-of-the-art Hunter Hawkeye Elite Wheel Alignment System. To book, call 613322 or visit Island Tyres and Exhaust, Selkie, Douglas.
Strang and Ballacameen stores are offering a delivery service throughout Douglas, Onchan, Moraun and Santon. If we don't stock it, we can get it. Message us on Facebook or call 852274 or 629241.
At Bond Fabrics, we're not just a fabric shop. As well as curtains and upholstery and dress and costume fabrics, we've knitting and crocheting wools, made to measure curtain and blind service, plus poles and tracks. Visit Howard Street, Douglas, call 611-856 or see bondfabrics.im.
Love local, love the island.
Just hop on.
Tours Isle of Man want to say thank you for sticking by us and transferring your holidays to later in the summer and also to next year. We can't wait to welcome you aboard again very soon. If you want to think about your next coach getaway and view our revised 2020 and new 2021 programme, just go online.
Visit tours.co.im.
We all need peace of mind, even more so now. That's where Peace of Mind Professional Will Writing Services can help. Whether face-to-face consultation or by phone or video call, your Manx will, at the special offer of just £149 plus VAT, will be drafted and delivered safely to you. Call Mike on 837 091 or go online to peaceofmind.co.im. Because life is for living, not worrying.
Going back in time on the sounds of the nation, it's the Caroline Flashback.
Later in the day, the town would be invaded by about 5,000 Mods and Rockers.
You're listening to Carnaby Street.
President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Chris Williams.
This is the medium wave service of Manx Radio, the first ever station to be authorized to broadcast in the medium wave band with a local commercial service for the people of the Isle of Man.
Saturday mornings, 8:30.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint, furnished by Magic Carpets.
24 minutes past 12, big day today, this interim budget, as it were, the Purple Book. And with me, somebody who's long been involved with politics on the Isle of Man, Minister of Health and Social Security. He was Minister of Local Government and the Environment, Minister for Tourism and Leisure, Minister of Transport, and he was Chief Minister between 2006 and 2011. Tony Brown is with me. Good to see you, Tony. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon. Well, unprecedented times, John was saying, obviously, you can plan for all sorts of things. Mr. Cannon was in his five-year plan, and suddenly this gets tipped on and everything just gets tipped upside down.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the joy of government. I mean, you can plan as much as you like, but ultimately you've got to react to the situation that comes before you. And I think that they've done that pretty well, really.
Treasury will be, they'll be looking at all sorts of streams of revenue, where the money goes, where it's going to come from, and as well. And certainly lots of money hasn't been spent, but lots of money has had to be spent. And certainly first priority was people's health. And
absolutely.
So money has gushed into the health and social care service.
Yeah, and I think that's paid off. I mean, I think that and planning and tracing and everything that was put in place right at the start, including closing down the borders, were very, very good moves to try and secure the island. And of course, you know, the island's been now for 2 months COVID-19 free. Nobody's been diagnosed with COVID again in that time. Doesn't mean it's gone away, doesn't mean it can't come back, but at least the island is able to get back to some form of normality, which nobody else really in Europe is in a position to do. So we're very fortunate.
Mr. Cannon now is talking about going to the market to raise 250 million, obviously, because a lot of the reserves aren't liquid, and obviously by redeeming some of the reserves, there wouldn't be a return on them, because nothing's paying much these days.
Well, that's right. I mean, I think it's all right drawing down on the reserves. And in fact, you know, during my time and before my time started with Miles Walker, you know, we put money aside for a rainy day. And this has certainly been a storm, never mind a rainy day. Mm. And because of that, it's been able to protect the island quite a bit. I think we need, and I hope we're going to be careful not to get ourselves in to have a national debt. Because that was what we had in the early 80s, and that cost us a lot of money. And of course, when you borrow money, even when it's as low as it is, it still costs you quite a lot to borrow money. And I'm sure the Treasury Minister is very conscious of that.
What were the reserves when you left office?
When I left office, we had just around 700 million in reserve for the general reserve, and we had about another 690 million for the National Insurance Fund reserve.
And when you came into politics, what were the reserves there?
1.5 million back in 1981. But I mean, the amount of services were substantially reduced on what we enjoy today. But we still couldn't fund them all. I can remember very well, we had real problems funding education to the level we wanted to. We had no social services, so people were really struggling, and we relied very much on people themselves looking after themselves, really. And, you know, over the years, the Isle of Man government in its many forms has advanced that to improve the quality of life on the Isle of Man.
And was that a political will that was going to improve government facilities and government aid to people's lives?
Oh yeah, I mean, it was a deliberate policy. I mean, it was all about the quality of life. We wanted to improve the quality of life. We wanted to secure jobs. We wanted to provide opportunities for young people. We were changing the age profile from people coming here to retire who were in their 60s and 20 years later needed extensive care. And we were generating and developing a business sector, which we now enjoy, which is consistently full of younger people.
When did you know you were onto something? When did you know that things were starting to go the way your political idea had envisaged it?
Well, it wasn't my idea. I mean, it was collectively, you know, the Council of Ministers at the time, with the support of members of Tynwald at the time. And I think we really noticed the difference in the sort of 88, 89, maybe up to 90, it started to change, and certainly it accelerated in the early 90s. And we've been able to, from those foundations, set down what we do. And, you know, we were very imaginative. I mean, we used to have ministers with new ideas, departments trying to create products and use our legislation, which is our strength, to create products that were beneficial to people and to businesses. And that's really what started to kick the island moving forward.
What was the hit ratio? How much of what you tried was a success?
I think that's hard to really put a finger on, but I mean, certainly I would say it's a high percentage. You know, like anything in life, whether it's business or whether it's government, there are some failures, because if you don't try, you never succeed. And therefore, when you try, sometimes you fail. Mm. You never should be afraid of trying, and you never should be afraid of investing and trying to make it work. When you're in government, you've got to be more careful, because it's not your money, it belongs to the public. It's their money, it's their investment, really, and you're the guardians doing it on their behalf. But what you do have is an insight as to what the market is, because you're working at it more closely. And I think that the Isle of Man, yes, it will have had maybe, you know, 20% failure. I don't really know. Yeah. I've never measured it. But, I mean, the improvements to the quality of life for the people of the Isle of Man was immense. And I think, you know, we've gone back a bit on that in recent years, and we need to, when we can, move forward to take it forward again so that people want to stay here because the quality of life is so good and that they are reasonably wealthy.
Mr. Neeshaw from RL 360 was talking about the Isle of Man government spreading the reputation of the Isle of Man around the world and saying, you know, business will cope, business will do what business does, but the government needs to bang the drum for the Isle of Man.
Well, I mean, governments have in the past, and I don't know the latest, I don't know what the present government does in terms of promoting the Isle of Man overseas, and I don't just mean in the UK, I mean, that's our biggest market, naturally. There's turmoil in Europe, so at the moment, there's not a lot anybody can do, to be honest. I think the main thing that can be done is to give people confidence and stability that they know, as best as we can project, we're going to succeed and we're going to look after the health of our nation by taking precautions that maybe we wouldn't normally take.
So you think the key is to make the Isle of Man a good place to live and quality of life so people want to come? With the people here, you can then have the business, and obviously that will drive public revenues.
Oh yeah, I think that's shown. I mean, in the sort of early 90s, we had a prosperous and caring society. That was government's policy, and subsequent governments up to recently have followed that prosperous and caring society as a way forward. And it wasn't just a word. Everything was based on how do we make the Isle of Man prosperous and how do we invest to make sure that we can care for the people of the Isle of Man, whatever age they may be, from childbirth right through to when people pass on. And the Isle of Man, I think, was very successful in doing that. And we were fortunate that we had the income to be able to do it. But it was hard work. A lot of people worked hard, civil servants, officers of government who aren't civil servants but work for government. And also, of course, the politicians. There was a commitment to make the island succeed. And one of the things about anything in life is once you succeed, you can sometimes just back off a little bit, get a little bit complacent. But actually, you can't stop because the whole world is doing the same job we're doing, and we're very small.
That's an interesting point, in that there has to be continued momentum, even no resting on laurels.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, nobody gets elected to go in and sit back and say the island's doing well. They're elected to go in and say, how do we make sure we secure the future of our island and the quality of life for our people?
Let me put this to you then. Let me put the cat amongst the pigeons. We have a relatively inexperienced Keys and an inexperienced Legco, and they've only ever known the good times. You obviously, we were down to £1 million and £2 million of reserves, there was only one way, and that was up. So how do you instill to politicians today who've only ever known the money coming in that you do have to run? You have to run because everyone else is running.
Well, I think I have to be careful. It's not for me to tell them how to do their job.
But you're a very experienced politician. You were chief minister. You held ministerial posts. Mm. And you have seen the Isle of Man drag itself up from its bootstraps in the early 1984, when 2,000 people out of work?
Oh, well, 81 when I stood, 2,500 out. It was about, I forget the percentage, something like 20%, 24% of the population weren't in work. And at that time, of course, we only had 30,000 people
just
in work.
So you were giving your advice to a hypothetical politician today. Mm. What would you say?
Well, I mean, I think the main thing is to learn the trade. I mean, I'd been in local government before I got elected into Tynwald, so I had 5 years of local government. Gives you an indication, it's a very loose indication, of what service is like, public service. And when I went into government, I had to learn from scratch how Tynwald worked, how the Keys worked, how legislation worked, what we could do, what we couldn't do. And I think that the main thing is to listen, watch and learn. And to be honest, homework is very important. First, you have to understand the constitutional position of the Isle of Man. I mean, if we're to be a successful nation, albeit not a sovereign nation, then you have to, as politicians, understand where we come from. What is the basis of our constitution? What can we do and what we can't do? What are our limitations? And the biggest weapon in our armoury is the ability to make legislation to suit the Isle of Man, to attract business. And if we do that well, and we introduce high standards, and then we create the environment for people to invest and be successful, then the rest will flow from it.
Tony Brown, former Chief Minister, has been with us today. Thanks for your time. Good to
My
talk
pleasure.
To you today. It's 25 to 1 on The Man in Line. Budget day today, interim budget.
Our border rules are changing, and the community has a huge part to play in keeping the island safe. If you're intending to leave the Isle of Man, you'll need to have a Manx entry permit in place to return and complete a landing form before you travel back. Remember, everyone arriving on the island must self-isolate for 14 days. Visit gov.im/coronavirus or call the Travel Notification Service team on 687 171 or email tns@gov.im.
This year you can enjoy the Manx Heritage Transport Festival from the comfort of your chair with a range of virtual events from the 29th of July to the 2nd of August. Events include a celebration of 125 years of the Snaefell Mountain Railway, a Grand Victorian adventure, virtual tours, presentations and much more. For full details, search Manx Heritage Transport Festival online, visit rail.im or call 662525.
Order your alcohol and soft drinks from vino.co.im.
For red and white wine.
vino.co.im.
Beers, champagnes, spirits.
vino.co.im.
Soft drinks and more.
All online at vino.co.im.
Our wine shop may be closed, but we deliver to your door.
For our full range, visit vino.co.im or find us on Facebook.
You're sure to find something fabulous at Ramsey Art Gallery, Jewellers and Engravers.
From stunning gold and silver jewellery that you can make extra special with an engraved message, to local prints and gifts for every occasion, Ramsey Art Gallery also stock a fantastic range of watches, including Ted Baker, Citizen, Storm and Accurist.
Plus Seconda, Timex, Sexy and Bulova.
All with lifelong free strap adjustment. You'll love what you find in store when you visit Ramsey Art Gallery, Jewellers and Engravers, opposite the RNLI shop in Ramsey.
Corkill Removals and Storage today. Loads big and small, day after day. We'll help you move, we'll help you pack. With a local or global, we've got the knack. So give us a cheer. Yay! Your movers are here. They do it right.
As well as moving locally, nationally or internationally, we have storage solutions from as little as £12 per week. Call
675-495. We'll get your load delivered on time. You can be sure we'll get the job done. Click corkillremovals.com.
Tonight here on Manx Radio, join Kiri Kermode and myself, Simon Clark, for Countryside.
I catch up with Peter Kameen from Mackled.
I talk to Craig Brinkley, a gardener who's opening his garden this Saturday for charity. And also I find out what's happening in the wildflower world of the Isle of Man from John Dog Collister.
That's all in Countryside at 6 o'clock tonight here on Manx Radio. And don't forget you can download or subscribe to the podcast for free at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint. Furnished by Magic Carpets.
Good afternoon. Thanks for being with Manx Radio. 22 minutes before one. Lots happening today. It's budget day, interim budget day today. A recalibration of the Isle of Man's finances and where we're going, the strategy because of COVID-19. You've been hearing lots and lots of numbers. You can hear more online. We'll also have lots of articles. There's a big blog going on at the moment as well as to what's happened with that and where the money is, where the money is going. But there are other things happening as well. And we finally got a response from EasyJet about flights to the Isle of Man. Due to the ongoing travel restrictions in place for flights to the Isle of Man, EasyJet's flying programme to and from the island is under review. They're currently planning to resume flights on the 1st of September. Should the restrictions be lifted, and by which time EasyJet anticipates seeing sufficient levels of demand having returned, EasyJet continue to operate a rolling program of cancellations. They're consolidating the schedule with customer demand, and any customers whose flights to and from the island have been cancelled will be notified and provided with options, which include transferring to an alternative flight free of charge, or a voucher for the value of the booking, or a refund. So the news from EasyJet is they're due to resume flights, if everything, all things being equal, on the 1st of September. And that's hot off the press. I do want to pay tribute also to a fine Manx politician. Sadly, we lost Inky Farragher on the 17th of July. Councillor Inkerman Farragher passed away on the 17th of July. Over 40 years of dedicated service to Douglas. He was 96 years of age. Inky was a a character, and of course he was Liberal Vannin for a long time, Inky Farragher. The funeral is this coming Friday the 24th at Douglas Crematorium at 10 o'clock. Lots of notes in, by the way. If you want to text in, you can text 166177, email studio@manxradio.com, or you can call us on 66 13 68. I do understand that the numbers are fairly dry at the moment, and there may not be big contentious things to talk about. But if you get a sense of where we're going, then by all means, give us a call. Somebody said that Manx businesses are being let down by the government not following the double taxation laws by taxing overseas companies working on the Isle of Man. A blind eye is being turned on a revenue that will put coppers back into the common purse. £130 million government spend off the island the island at the moment. The public sector pension deficit I was alluding to with John earlier on, this correspondent says the deficit is in a big part due to politicians in the 90s and noughties sitting on their hands. The success of the Isle of Man is down to the private sector, not that much to do with politicians. Well, the politician, I think Tony Brown, and he was chief minister, says the Isle of Man's strength is in legislation. Legislation is enacted by politicians. They're the ones with the political clout to get legislation through. And by that legislation, we can then have industry on the Isle of Man that other people could take years to get to. Text 166177 and more messages in. Pat said, there are lots of workers on the Isle of Man still using COVID-19 to stay and work from home. We don't have the virus, and those that insist on working at home, I think, are taking the mickey. They say it's not to save to return to work, but to find it OK to have a full social life. This is causing the whole system to break down. People can't get appointments or sort out day-to-day problems. If you be a bit more specific about which industries, Pat, you think people aren't going back to work, of course, people will only get to go back to work if the management say they can go back to work. I don't think they can just pitch up, but we do take the point as well. Paul dropped me a note, said, Andy, business can look after itself as long as the government lets the world know. So the Department of Enterprise needs to pull its finger out, start telling the world. They said months and months ago they were going to get ahead of the game as far as businesses go, says Paul. So what are the businesses? Joe dropped me a note and said, Andy, the government needs to inspect their funded construction contracts where the main contractors are bucking the system and only employing staff as self-employed or on unregistered, resulting in no NI payments being made. The main contractors factor into their tenders to cover full NI payments, but only employ workers as self-employed. Love to know if you've got any documentation about that. Joe, that will be a heck of a story if that's true. The Treasury Minister so has laid out the blueprint for the Isle of Man's economic fight back following the impact of the global pandemic. Now, this is against a backdrop of record high unemployment. What was John was saying, I think it was 1,113 people out of work, which is unthinkable on the Isle of Man. We were 200 or so before the pandemic. Record high unemployment, struggling hospitality sector, the demands protecting against a possible second wave of COVID-19, £100 million in stimulus via an economic recovery fund to replace the direct COVID support is the headline change. We spoke to the Treasury Minister, Bill Shimmins.
Well, I think it's a significant investment, and what that shows is that we are really looking to get the economy back going again. And in terms of the exact needs that we will have, well, we're constantly looking at that. But I think 100 million is a statement which says actually we're standing by the economy, we are investing in the future, not just for our businesses, but for the individuals that are working in those businesses. It's essential to all of us that we get the economy back up running and going well again.
But the nature of the economic support, you could argue, is being changed quite fundamentally here. We're having a tapering off of the big MIRA and salary support schemes, and instead we're having a new sort of model for that funding. I mean, aren't you going to is that not problematic? We know that the salary support scheme is helping. We know MIRA is helping. Why take them away?
Well, first of all, I think both the salary support scheme and MIRA have been well received, and I think they were the right schemes to bring in at that time, at the height of the crisis, when there was a great deal of uncertainty, and we wanted to keep people in employment. That's a key priority for the government. And as we look forward now, after the lockdown, many sectors are actually back to work, which is fantastic. We're seeing the number of claimants for both the salary support scheme and MIRA drop significantly week on week, which is terrific. So what we're now looking at is more targeted support. So making sure that we are getting that help where it is most needed. So I think that's the way to look at the tapering off, and I would stress also that we are tapering, so we're not taking a cliff edge approach, so we'll wind things down over the next couple of months to make sure that people are transitioning in a supportive way rather than facing a cliff edge.
But within the tapering off, I mean, it's fair to say there will be people who might lose their job because of the lack of those schemes.
Yes, so that's a key priority for us, is to really help people who are facing that situation of unemployment. We've been very fortunate in the island over the last few decades that we've had very low levels of unemployment. We expect that will unfortunately rise. So what we're looking to do is put lots of extra opportunities in terms of training, in terms of support packages, helping people potentially transition to new work and helping them do that. So that's really one of the key planks of the measures that we were bringing out today.
That's Bill Shimmins. By the way, I promoted Bill Shimmins. Mr. Cannon's probably just spat his tea out. Bill Shimmins is a member of Treasury, not the Minister for Treasury, but you never know. The Chief Minister, I don't think, was in Tynwald today. We'll find out what's the story behind that. Obviously, he's got other things on his plate. The biggest employer of self-employed is the government, apparently. What are your figures for that, if you can tell me? You anonymous people with all these things. Can you tell me how you know the government is the biggest employer of self-employed people? Anyway, to keep the young people on the island, we need an all-weather entertainment complex, says Gemma to me. But my daughter keeps bringing that up. Now, Tony Brown was very specific about this. In that you have to make the Isle of Man a nice place to live, a safe, caring place to live. And of course, man does not, or woman doesn't live by bread alone. We have to have entertainment on the Isle of Man, entertainment provision on the Isle of Man. I think it's fairly safe to say has not advanced over the past 10 years. In fact, it's been fairly well cut back. So provision for entertainment for young people hasn't really advanced. How do we? Of course, I know there's going to be a bowling alley down south? Something's going to happen down south anyway. Or was it a skateboard place, I think, was happening in the south of the Isle of Man. But high-class entertainment on the Isle of Man, I think it's fair to say we're in fairly short supply. If you have any thoughts about that, then text or email or give us a call. Talking to Bill Shimmins, by the way, I have to say there's going to be a middle constituency surgery this coming Saturday from 10 till noon at Crosby Methodist Hall, and the two middle MHKs going to be there. No appointments necessary. If you're a middle constituent, just pitch up 10 o'clock Saturday morning till 12 noon, Crosby Methodist Hall. Your two MHKs will be there. Bill Shimmins, MHK, and Howard Quayle, the Chief Minister, will be there this coming Saturday. Crosby Methodist Hall, 10 till midday, and I think Moran commissioners are going to be there as well. So if you need to raise something concerning the middle constituency and Moran commissioners, they look forward to seeing you there. That's Manx politics at its best. You can actually go and look them in the eye. There'll probably be a cup of tea going there as well. With more than 1,100 people without a job, Treasury is stressed. It's looking to reskill the workforce to go into other sectors. Well, that sounds easy if you say it quickly. Reskill the workforce to go into other sectors. But where? What other sectors are there? Treasury member, MHK Ralph Peak.
Really, as we've pointed out, the green economy, that really is a sound bet. Tynwald has supported that in January. We know that we want to reduce our CO2 output. So it's all those industries around that. And a lot of those are by now proven technologies. You know, some of these aren't new. You know, we all perhaps heard that the UK now can produce more renewable energy than it does from coal or from gas. So, you know, there's many days that that happens throughout the summer. So these technologies are here now. We know we need to get on board. So we're really looking forward to more direction on that, where we can change the way energy is created and generated and how it's delivered to people. So that's a surefire thing. But there will be other sectors that we perhaps aren't aware of at the moment that will sort of come to the front, probably in the digital space, but we really sort of need to hedge that bet. So what we want to do is really help people retrain, and whether that's retraining on themselves so they can improve their self-confidence and keep their mind open to other opportunities, or whether it's just so they get back into the habit of education again. That's what we want to try and focus on, because we can do that now. And of course, if we invest in people now, they can take those skills to other jobs.
So just to clarify, are you hoping that the jobs in the green sector, digital sector, are government going to be providing those jobs, or are you hoping the private sector ends up providing them?
Yeah, I see. Well, certainly on the training side of things, government will have a role, but we do want to embrace the private sector training capacity as well, and encourage perhaps other people to deliver the training. So that's the first thing. So that's going to be private sector and public sector jointly providing those training opportunities. But when you come to the actual jobs, again, that will be a partnership. Government can't do this by itself. Professor Curran was very clear about that. The government really can only produce about 50% of the projects and the jobs. We really need to be looking to the private sector, not only to fund projects, but also the private sector to deliver the projects.
Is that hand in hand with the stimulus that's been offered?
Yes, so the stimulus will be there to not only train people up in new careers, but also it'll be there to create jobs. As the Minister referred to in the budget just now, it's around about 1,000 jobs we're actually looking to help, but also 1,000 places on education and training.
Well, that's what's going to happen. Our economy is changing beneath our feet because of COVID-19. The island's been COVID-free now for 61 days. Unthinkable when you look at the rest of the world. Just take a look. Look at anything online. Read the newspapers. The virus itself is raging in all sorts of places around the world. In Mexico, in Russia, in Iran. It's still there, and it's getting worse in lots of those places. We are immensely privileged to be in the position we're in. What we have to do now is mend the economy. Alf Cannon's pledged £100 million from the General Reserve to help stimulate the economy via that new recovery fund. This will follow the short-term direct support handed out via the Manx Earnings Replacement Allowance, MERA, and the Salary Support Scheme. It's estimated government will have spent more than £70 million as part of the package of measures which form the initial coronavirus response. There are some key points. The economic recovery fund of £100 million taken from General Reserve is to support and assist people and businesses. Public finances, well, they've done two scenarios, really. Well, a worst, a best, and one in the middle. The worst, £190 million down, the best £120 million down, probably somewhere in the middle. The initial COVID-19 response cost the Isle of Man £70 million. Salary support continues for travel, tourism and fishing industries through to September. Everyone else is going to have to prove their case. Borrowing powers up to £250 million will be enacted to ensure Treasury doesn't have cash flow issues. The accelerated capital programme will have a focus on schemes to support the economy. Three as yet undetailed projects being commissioned by the Council of Ministers to create employment and provide investment. There'll be no census, no 2020 census as part of the Cabinet Office savings. It's forecast. As I say, we've been hit between £120 and £190 million in revenue, and there'll be more to come, of course, because VAT is less between now and the end of January because of what happened in the UK.
Listen to us on your smart speaker. Alexa, play Manx Radio.
The income of government departments has dropped by just under £22 million, according to estimates in the Purple Book. The Treasury is asking Timwald to allocate £24.5 million from the contingency fund to meet the loss of revenue. We're in the middle of this. We have the health crisis on one side, which we appear to be getting the best of. Though, of course, yesterday everything changed because people are now able to leave the Isle of Man and to to come back, and we don't know what's going to happen when people start coming back. We'll know a fortnight after that. We've got, if you like, on one hand, we're coping with the health crisis and the funding that's required to keep that going. And on the other side, we're trying to get the economy going. Still, parts of the economy will be in real trouble. The hospitality sector, well, we have no visitors. We have nobody coming to the Isle of Man. People who may use things like the steam train and the electric railway and the tourist facilities. So we'll watch and we'll report. Reports throughout the afternoon, and of course there'll be some special reports on Update tonight from 5:30 on Manx Radio. This coming Friday, the Treasury Minister, Alfred Cannon, will be live with us on Manx Radio. And if you want to get a question in, email maninline@manxradio.com. You can call the answer phone, 682-631. We'd like to hear from you. Or you can take a chance on Friday lunchtime by texting, email or calling for the Treasury Minister. Well, another stage. Another brick in the wall, perhaps. Thanks to our studio producer today, Howard Kane. Thanks to Tony Brown and John Moss and Andy Wint. Back tomorrow at midday. WINT.